I've never seen that. I've never seen anybody drive their garbage down to the street and then bang the hell out of it with a stick on. I've never seen that.
Stupid! You're so stupid!
Shooting at bottles? They're not even hitting them.
You tell them I'm coming! And hell's coming with me, you hear? Hell's coming with me!
Whether you like it or not, everybody is back, gathered once again at Studio D Chevalier, located smack dab right in the heart of Security Widefield near Fountain, somewhere down south of Colorado Springs, Colorado. It's the Son of Cheese High Fire Power Hour.
Are we live?
The ensemble cast is back again.
Yeah!
Along with your host,
hold it,
from FizzleandPop.com, Colin Burton.
What the hell is that shit?
And from SonofCheese.com. Derek Knight. With the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour.
Let's rock!
Yeah, it is the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. Very pleased to be once again back in your computing machine and attempting to entertain you in the fashion that we see fit. I'm Derek Knight for SonofCheese.com. With me, as always, Colin Burton from FizzleandPop.com.
Hello.
My sister Heather from Med and Spam.
Hi.
My wife Heather has moved to a more acceptable location in the studio and is on a much better microphone. Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Jason Ozant from RedRumRadio.com.
Good evening.
Good evening. The major fucking star, Chris Graham, star of stage and screen.
Hello again.
And Chris's handler, Christina, has chosen to join us. And we're going to start the show in a way that is a bit more suited to Jason's heavy metal background.
Oh, man.
He does his show while he imbibes, and so as an homage to you, we've all got shots in our hand.
What a reputation I've got.
You know what?
Let's get liquored up.
That's right. Let's
just
get
here.
You know, well, the show flows better when you've got some booze in you. I'm just thinking that's the case with everybody, right?
It loosens the lips, yes.
Sure. So what we'll do is we'll go around the room, and Colin is going to enjoy some fine Canadian whiskey, then... From the Velvet Bag, Crown Royal in a Colorado Gold Kings shot glass. Your Colorado Gold Kings. My sister has a tiki-themed shot glass, and it's purple, and it is filled with premium Di Serrano Amaretto. My wife has a University of Northern Colorado shot glass, and it's got Hennessy cognac in it. Jason has a U.S.-Canadian shot glass, which is... perfect, because today will be the gold medal game. Now, it'll have already happened by the time this posts.
Go USA.
But the U.S. will be taking on the Canadians in the gold medal game for Olympic hockey. And in that is the 23-year-old Van Winkle Family Reserve whiskey. Mm. That is the expensive stuff. Chris has a shot glass full of water.
It goes better with the antipsychotics.
That's right. And Christina has a shot glass full of cola.
Yeah,
I have a wonderful lead crystal Hawaiian-themed rocks glass, because I'm a host. Mine is also filled with the 23-year-old Van Winkle. On three, knock 'em back. One, two, a three. Nice, right? So, reactions. You said you hadn't had a drink in some time.
I think it might be the last time we potted and drank.
Probably, and that was a fun show, wasn't it? We need
to
recreate
that. Long-ass time ago.
So you're making the...
Yeah, the not used to it face.
You're making the... you're making a bit of a pussy face, but that's all right.
I used to drink that a lot.
I know. Well, yeah, you used to be a lush, right?
Not a lush, but I used to drink.
How was that? How was that Amaretto treating you?
Wonderful.
Yeah, I know, it's nice, right? How was yours?
My feet are warm now.
I know, right? Hennessy's great, and I'll come to you last. But how was your water?
Good. It was.
It's security
filtered.
Water.
Not filtered.
Oh, yeah, I filtered it.
Oh, nice. It tastes better than at my house.
It's security water. This is water that comes from...
Special.
Yeah, it's special water. It's been tainted by Schlock Lock.
It
is God's water. And how is your cola beverage?
That's cola.
That's cola. And you and I enjoyed the...
Wow.
Yeah, the $300 bottle.
It burns as precious.
It's warm, man.
Isn't it? I told you it was going to make you feel warm for about...
That's
for
good.
About a solid hour, about a good hour. And yeah, I like that stuff. That's one of the few perfect whiskeys I have. And I've got like 15 whiskeys in that cabinet.
Yeah, and it does have a great taste to it.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Nice flavor.
It's like still backing up on you, right? like still revealing its notes.
It's it's dancing on my palate.
Dancing on my palate.
And I taste the hint of smokiness and a little bit of the wood in which it was aged.
Now spit it out.
See, now I'm ready for that job as the liquor taster people.
See, exactly. Yeah, you've proven that you can appreciate a fine whiskey. Now it's time to call them up and say, you know what? Look, I need a job.
Or at least bullshit my way into it.
Oh, well, aren't we all good at that? No, what we're going to do with this program, I think, is we're going to focus on you. And by you, I mean Chris Graham.
All right.
And we've done this once before, but this is kind of a rebirth for the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour, don't you think?
Yes.
I think we should. The
afterbirth.
The placenta of Son of Cheese.
But,
nice.
Yeah. And it looks like kind of looks like a half done porterhouse when it pops out. Actually,
I don't know.
We should get my mom in here to tell her afterbirth story. That was the best story
ever. Yeah, it was kind of sad.
Yeah, how she came out like the next day and she thought she'd lost her liver.
She thought she lost an organ.
Yeah. Oh my God, my liver just fell out.
Those are great doctors there that warned her of that, huh?
Hey, 1971, Penrose Hospital, Colorado Springs. That was, we're talking about not necessarily.
Yeah, usually it's supposed to come out the same day, not the day after.
Right, yeah. They tossed yours in this pan and just set it aside.
And I thought you were going to say fried it up.
No, I was looking at it going, porterhouse. I mean, really, it just looks
disgusting.
It looks like a thick cut steak.
Don't do this.
Yeah,
see, I remember when my son was born, they turned it inside out and they showed, you know, how this was the bag the baby was in.
Don't some cultures eat that to get like nutrients?
Well, actually, what they do in some third world countries is they line up outside to get their hands on that gunk that's on the baby when it pops out.
Right.
Because it's
with
an emollient. Yeah. It's a moisturizer.
Oh boy.
It's a moisturizer. All these old dried out third world ladies rub it on their old dried out third world faces.
But you are right. There are people
eat
the placenta.
There's animals that do, of course.
The mother does get the nutrition back.
Interesting.
Yeah. Sick.
And disgusting at the same time. I mean, I wasn't completely put off by it, but I wasn't thinking.
You weren't planning on eating it.
Fire up the grill. I'm grunt.
No, that's what they're doing. Throw a little onions.
Wow.
Tastes like liver and onions, right?
A little bit of garlic and
sheesh. Sheesh. We mentioned on a previous show that there were a set of movies that were made right here in town, and they were the worst movies ever made. And you, Chris, you were a major star in one of them.
And the other one was Strangeland, I think, with Dee Schneider.
Oh, no. Well, no, that was a total... I'm talking about the movies that were made by Winstar.
Oh, God.
Alien Seed.
Laser Moon.
Cyber Chick. And the cult classic Elves that you are the, sadly, the best actor in. And how old were you when that movie was made?
10.
You were 10. And you got to say some awesome lines. And I know I've got it in here. But why don't you tell the kids how it was that you came to be in the movie and how much you got paid?
I got paid.
Well, no, start out with how you... listen to the whole question, answer the whole question. how did you come to be in this fine feature film? And I looked it up on IMDb the other day.
Right.
And it was down on the popularity meter 10% as a whole, but your popularity was up 10.
I didn't know I had any popularity.
You were trending up, and you know why? It had to be because people knew you were coming on the show.
Yeah.
So anyway... I know why, and everybody knows why, but how did you come to be the star of Elves?
Well, my dad was the executive producer. Winstar Studios is the in-house studio that produces the commercials. It kind of allows Graham Advertising to cut out the middleman, but they just decided...
They said, let's make the jump from a commercial to a feature film.
Feature film, you know?
What the hell? We've got all these cameras.
It ended up being a, you know, poor venture, but they gave it a shot, you know, because it was the... I don't know if it's... Because the 80s.
Just because. Everything.
Because they could.
Because, sure. It's like sitting around.
If we had the ability.
I've got all these microphones. Yeah. So that's why we do this stupid show.
I had already read the script over and over and over because I was like, you know, this is awesome. And then.
When you're 10, yeah.
Since I had already. Well, yeah, exactly. Since it had already been. I already had the whole script memorized. So then they just called me in. I mean, I'm pretty sure nepotism played a very large part in me getting the role. I read the role, I got it, and I got $800 for the film.
$800 big dollars.
Yeah,
for saying things
for a 10-year-old.
It is a lot of money for a 10-year-old.
An $800 goes a long way back in '89.
Yeah,
a lot farther than it does now.
And you got to spend it however you want, right?
Well,
no,
it went into a college fund.
And you got to go to college though.
Yeah, I did.
That's awesome. On that $800, I have for the kids.
It was invested.
I have for the kids the best scene, and your classic line is at the tail end of it. So let's hit that right now.
I'm your fucking sister. Yeah, and you've got fucking big tits, and I'm going to tell everybody I saw.
I got paid $800 to drop the F-bomb and say titty.
I know, and luckily, nice. Luckily, since then your voice has gotten slightly deeper.
Yeah,
but let's hit that one
things
more time.
Things have dropped, so
one more time.
I'm your fucking sister. Yeah, and you've got fucking big tits, and I'm going to tell everybody I saw.
That needs to be everybody's ringtone.
I want it as my ringtone.
It could be arranged.
I never did get to see them though. She was wearing a bathing suit.
Oh, see, that's a total jip. Because especially since those movies were made, I think so a select group of people could just see boobs, and you got ripped off. You got completely ripped off.
Well, not completely. $800, but
so let's keep playing that card. Okay, what?
I've actually gone deaf in one ear on the headphones.
Oh, that's not good. Anyway.
But that's all right.
Yeah, so you have the experience of making a feature film, and you probably were thinking, wow, this is going to launch my career, and what else did you do after Elves?
I actually did do something else. There was 500 kids that auditioned for the Colorado Christmas that they do at the Broadmoor. I don't know if they still do it. I did that 2 years running based solely on my singing ability.
Yeah.
And
why don't you hit us up with a little song? Just an impromptu a cappella.
A cappella.
Yeah. Like something like by ABBA, like Does Your Mother Know?
I don't know that song. I can do something by Gene Kelly.
Well, we'll just hit us up.
All right. I'm singing in the rain.
I can see why you got chosen.
Singing in the rain. Okay. Anyway, I did that. Thank you.
Nice. Okay.
I did that 2 years in a row. Got paid $600. Each season. So that was $1,200.
Wow. How many shows did you have to do in one season?
Oh, I think we did them every night for about a month.
Oh, so it is a bit arduous.
For about 2 months.
Wow.
Including weekends. So. Oh,
so they give you a little taste of the gate.
So. And you get $600 for that. And then the next year, I also got chosen. And then by the time I was 13, the year after that, my voice dropped. And
that was the end of it.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Things were, my voice was cracking.
Yeah. So you fell into the trap that all child stars fall into.
Well, I didn't get into the drugs and alcohol.
But you're no longer the cute little child that everybody loves. You're suddenly a very scary man with facial hair.
It's like a reverse... Ugly duckling.
Yeah.
He started off the swan, then he shriveled into a duck.
Shriveled into this raisiny duck that nobody wants to.
One C movie doesn't even rate as a B, in my opinion, and
it's terrible.
Two productions in the style of a Broadway play, and that
makes you a major effing star, dude. That's all I can say.
So
how many days did it take to shoot the film?
It only took 2 weeks.
That long.
Including, and then there was at least 2 weeks that I was involved in. They did some stuff up in Black Forest after I was...
They did a good job of hiding it.
And...
The elf. Were you afraid of the elf?
Actually, no. I wanted to keep it. I don't know. I think it was designed by the...
The son of Bob Denver, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I wanted to
showing
keep
about it. As much ability as the character Gilligan. So it was terrible. It was a half-assed elf at best.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a scene where it attacked you?
Oh yeah.
Did somebody had to chuck it at you off stage?
They did. They literally just one person like held it and then they just shoved it and it just that was it. No animatronics
it was
involved. So do not watch Child's Play and then right after that, watch Elves, because then the movie will seem even worse.
Even yeah, you want to talk about not being impressed at all?
Right.
I don't know. I would watch Elves in that ironic. Oh, this is the worst thing I've ever seen. Manner.
I still I would like to get you in for like a MST3K. In fact, God, if there was any way we could get the cast of Son of Cheese to just MST3K that bitch, it'd be awesome.
Well, there is. Yeah. Well, there's a TV behind you.
Well, we should do that.
We should do that. That would be fun. Riff tracks it, as they say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See how good we are at that. I don't know. I think there's more preparation in that than it looks.
Oh, no. I'm sure they write it. Yeah, they actually write out a script. And because, yeah, you can try to be funny spontaneously, but then you end up like, duh.
Yeah, like me.
Not just like you.
Okay.
A little like you. Thanks. Kind of like you.
Yep.
Yeah.
But this is about Chris.
It is about Chris. But you said you had more stories. Should we wait?
No, we can do those on another pod. That's
not a completely different show.
I don't know if I can
show.
Fill a whole half hour.
I don't know.
Really?
Well, but you went to college, though. I mean, you grew up. You grew out of this. You know, it kind of was behind you. And then suddenly you realized.
I wouldn't say I grew up. Well, I'm still working on that.
Okay. So you got older. Right. But then you realized that there were people that held this crappy movie in some sort of cult regard.
Well,
once they found out that you were in a movie, all bets were off.
It was the movie, you know, just, you know, fell into obscurity as well it should. And then it wasn't until my freshman year of college, I was about 20, and we were in Grand Island, Nebraska.
Wow. And a paradise on earth.
About a 3-hour drive from anywhere meaningful.
Right, yeah. And truck stop.
No
all
offense
I remember
to
is
any
one
Grand Island
stop.
Listeners, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Grand Island being our city of the day.
They're our core audience. What are you doing?
How are we? Salute you, Nebraska, and wish you drop off the face of the earth and take New Mexico with you.
Yeah, friends of mine, we were going to go check out a movie, and then it was like sitting in the VHS rack, and I'm like, holy crap, I'm in this movie. And I had to list off a bunch of vague statistics that only I would know, or someone involved with the movie would know. And they watched it, and then it just resurfaced, and then it was sort of, it did around college, you know, it got some viewings and just sort of spread around campus. And we had a media center called the Gray Center that did print, radio, and television at the college level, and they started making more copies, more DVD copies, more VHS copies, and distributing them along campus. I don't know if I should say that.
I think the statute of limitations has expired.
Pretty much.
Plus, really, so, I mean, who's gonna bust you except your dad?
I think I've got like maybe one of 10
pirate copies.
10 copies on DVD.
Yeah.
Because it never was actually put on DVD.
Right.
And I think if you go to Rotten Tomatoes, or maybe it's not Rotten Tomatoes, there is a techno remix featuring sound clips from Elves. And,
actually, they played it on public television back in South Carolina when I was younger.
Oh, yeah, she's got a story.
Really?
About this.
So you actually saw him before you knew him.
Exactly. I was.
Or is that what happened? You saw him and then you decided to stalk him.
Actually, I didn't even know it was him. It was kind of funny. I was 10 years old when I saw it.
Yeah.
It was just on one of the public, you know, local stations. And I thought it was the funniest, cheesiest movie I'd ever seen in my life. But I couldn't turn it off. Mm-hmm. And I watched the entire movie, and then when we first started dating, he told me he was in this movie, and at first I didn't recognize the name until we actually sat down and watched it, and I was like, holy shit, I saw you when I was 10 years old.
Nice.
It was hilarious, because my mom still has that copy of the movie, because she taped it, because she thought it was hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah, so mom still has that of you being 10 years old and dropping the F-bomb.
How serendipitous. And yeah, really a great way to make a first impression there.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, I think
big tits and fucking little ninja trolls. That was another one.
Yeah,
that was my favorite line.
I'm just a guess, but I think your dad regrets that.
Oh, he does.
There's a lot of regret tied to those movies.
I know. I don't even know if I should drop his name, but the guy who wrote the script,
Jeffrey Mandel.
Oh, was it?
You could look.
Was
it, up.
It Jeff Mandel? Yeah.
Jeff
it was,
Mandel. No,
I
Doug
it was Paglia.
Well, no, Paglia. What he told me, Mark Paglia was the producer of the films, he would write up the sheet, the synopsis. He would just write up the synopsis from which the script was written. And he had seen something about genetic mutations or something on the news when he was home for lunch and decided, hey, Nazi elves.
Yes.
And so somewhere in from elves on the sheet of where they sold it to the investors to elf in the script, some of those elves were missing.
Yeah, it was rather the whole movie the movie as a whole was a rather unsuccessful marriage of themes of incest and Nazi experiments.
Yeah.
And bad accents.
Oh, terrible accents. Yes. Worst German accents I have ever heard.
Mir, kill him.
Come on, seriously. And then later, in a different movie, those same guys played what? Like English guys? It's like the same three guys that played the bad guys in every single one of these movies.
It could be. Just your generic henchmen.
Yeah. And they were terrible at it. And just my opinion, but they were just not very good.
They didn't hinge well.
Yeah.
Although I did get to work with Grizzly Adams.
You did, yeah. Dan Haggerty was the male lead, and not really. I never really watched the show. Grizzly, did you ever watch Grizzly Adams at any point? Yeah, never.
I did.
Did you?
I did.
Terrible, terrible actor, this guy. I mean, just so
he pulled
stiff.
Off Mountain Man Living with a Bear okay. I
yes, think. He did.
Mountain Man Living with a Bear don't need to say much.
No, not really. He's got a bear.
Just say, hey, bear. Rrr.
Hey, Ben, get over here.
It's kind of like acting with Ray Louis, you know?
What?
You give him very few lines. Frankincense? I can borrow?
Wait a minute. What was Ray Louis doing?
Oh, he's acting. Done a couple things.
He's done a couple things.
Really?
There was the, again, your dad. You know, you have... your dad's probably listening. Hi, Jerry. How are you? This is my best Jerry Graham impression. And you can't see this. You can see this, but he won't be able to see this. I've got a great idea. So he comes down.
He does do that. He leans back a little bit more.
A little bit, yeah.
Like he's taken aback by his own idea.
His own idea. The brilliance of his own idea. So he came down to me one time and he said, I have a great idea. And I was like, okay, run it by me. And he wanted to do a spoof fishing show.
I did see that.
As a birthday card for one of the dealers that's a client of the agency. And so I got to write this thing and star in it. And I was Merle and Ray Louis was Joe on the Merle and Joe's
fishing show. That's right.
And,
I did see them.
Ray said he would do it as long as he didn't have to say anything more than yup. And so the only line I wrote for Ray was yup. And to test his versatility, I threw in a nope at the end. And
how did he adjust to the sudden change?
He adjusted well. I think it only took four takes. And it was, yeah, so he did that.
Not enough emphasis on the...
Yeah. Yeah, but
I like the one where you guys were dancing better.
Oh,
the promo.
Yeah,
Ray, the interpretive dance of Ray Louis. Yeah, he'll never live that down, and we can't. I mean, it's hard to translate that to this podcast. But if you ever have occasion to be in Colorado Springs, look up Ray Louis and have him dance for you. This is the magical dancing Chinaman, and he will dance and dance. And speaking of Chinaman. I'm going to try and have him go with me to Freak Train next time, because apparently last time I was at Freak Train, I offended Jiri with my Chinese jokes. And so I'm going to have the Chinaman on stage to shoot me in the face if I say anything offensive.
You're going to have the Defamation League after you.
I'll catch the bullet in my teeth and all will be well.
That doesn't sound like a very good ending.
It's catching. The end. Yeah, well, what would you suggest I do? Not catch the bullet?
Dodge the bullet coming at you?
No. You have to catch it in your teeth. If you're any sort of man, you catch the bullet in your
teeth. I still say you're going to that well too often.
I thought he was being literal.
It's a magic trick.
Yes.
I am. It's a magic trick. Have you ever... You like magic?
I watch Chris Angel Mind Freak.
Yeah.
Yeah, but yeah. Do you like magic?
No, that was actually good. Say it again.
What? I already said it.
Oh, you see what he did there? You see what he did? Yeah. He was insinuating that he was not a magician.
That's right.
He's just a pretty boy, that guy. Just a pretty boy. So, how are you anyway these days?
I'm doing well.
Yeah. You know.
Hating the snow, though.
I do hate snow. Because I'm in... Aren't we supposed to get some tonight anyway?
Yep. Yes. That's what they were saying.
But... I sure hope they're wrong. You know, being a meteorologist in Colorado, why don't they just say, you know what? It's Colorado. Your guess is as good as mine. It's the only job I know where you can be wrong more than half the time and still keep your job.
Well, I don't know if you did this.
What a sweet gig.
Yeah. I don't know if you did this when you were compiling your four-day forecast, but I did. I wouldn't even look at the weather service when I worked on the radio.
You just looked
outside?
I
would just do the same forecast over and over.
You made it up.
Yeah. Partly cloudy, high in the 80s, and look for afternoon showers about 2 o'clock, overnight low in the 60s.
Yeah, how did you adjust? Yeah, I guess you just
said. That's summertime. Now, winter is a little different. Chance of snow, 40%. Duh.
Well, if there's a chance of snow at 40%, you might as well say 100% chance of snow. 20, you know, unlikely. 30, maybe. 40, freaking definitely a chance of snow.
Yeah.
In my experience.
whether it actually hits us or not doesn't really matter. But sure. Once it touches those mountains, it's going to get to us eventually.
It has to. It has no choice. Mm-hmm. It's got to go through us to get to you. Right?
Yeah.
What was that noise?
That noise was Jordan texting me.
No, you're getting a text on air.
I am.
What's your daughter say?
Hi.
Hi.
Yep.
Hi. You gotten any more calls since you turned yours to Wiggle?
I'll never tell.
Taking that secret to the grave.
That's right. So, you went to college.
Yep.
Yeah.
Graduated in 5 years and...
Did they redshirt you? That's a joke. It's a little...
I guess I don't get the reference.
It's a little joke. Never mind. And you ran cross country at college.
I did.
Yeah. So you were really good at that.
Oh, I actually wasn't.
I want you to do two things before we end the show. And I know you've done these exact same things before.
All right.
But I want you to tell the Vitatis Cancellara story.
Oh, no. All
right.
And I want you to do your impression of me.
All right. I will do both those things. All right. Okay. Fuck yeah! All right. It's been a long time since I've told this story because I've just kind of told it 100 times, but I will. See if I can hear myself. Okay, there we go.
Did a little bit more monitor for you.
Yeah, I'm monaural right now rather than stereo in my own head.
Monaural?
How do you say it?
Monaural.
Monaural, thank you.
Monaural.
I've been saying... Okay,
I'm going to figure out a way to use that word.
Monaural?
Monaural. Anyway, please, Vitatis Cancellaris. Please explain for a listener who Vitatis Cancellaris is once again.
Vitatis Cancellaris is an asshole. And...
Not unlike me.
Actually, I don't know if he was just an asshole or if he was just because he was foreign and he didn't know he was being a jerk.
He's
but he's from Lithuania, and he was on my team in track.
Yeah.
And he did a different event than me, but I did the... I don't know how long it is in kilometers, but essentially it's a 5-mile run.
Which is quite... Yeah. Quite the distance.
Yeah, you have to be sort of mentally unhinged to enjoy something like that, which I did at the time and was. So, but the thing to understand is I went from running 3 miles at the high school level, and this was my first transition into the college level, which, you know, it's a lot more arduous. There's a lot more involved. It was a lot more difficult.
Yeah. Okay. No, keep telling your story. I just want to punctuate it with the sad music.
Oh, okay.
Going from 3 to 5 miles.
It's hard. Uphill. It's all the difference. And anyway, I think it was the first, I think it was indoor track season. And it was my first, you know, my first race indoor track at the college level. And, oh God, it's been so long if I can remember it. So... I got lapped 5 times, and I was the last one to come in. Okay, I had 5 laps to go. I was holding up the event. I was holding up the event, you know, all the other events. And
everybody's looking
the
at announcer, their watch.
The announcer was like, coming in last for Hastings College, it's Chris Graham. You know, which is kind of like how you talk. That's kind of the same voice I used to make fun of you. But,
that's right.
To even rub it in, like, 2 guys from a rival college were standing on the track, and they're like, hurry up, you suck, you know. And they just kept, you know, ribbing me every time I, you know, just making some comment every time I went by.
Yeah.
Until I finally finished the race. And so I'm totally humiliated and feeling like shit, like everybody's watching you on the stands.
Right.
I mean, there's nowhere to hide from that level of humiliation. All eyes are on you. So then I'm like totally humiliated, totally pissed off.
Showing all the heart in the world.
And I'm
for
on
finishing.
My way back to the van, you know. And then
the van.
Vitatis comes up and is, you know, and he's in his broken English. He goes, Christopher, goddammit. Why you sucks? You're so slow. Why you always lost? And I go, no, dude, it's why do I suck? That's what I said. You sucks. No, that's past tense. Forget it. I'm trying to correct his I'm trying to correct
his... Sure, you're trying to correct his grammar, and he's just trying to belittle you. So really, you're not speaking the same language.
Like, it was less like he was trying to belittle me, and he's just like, "What don't?" It's more like he was just like, "Why don't you just run faster? You suck."
There you go. That's it.
And so we get into the van, and he calls Shotgun because he is V. He goes by V because Vitatis is too hard to say, and, well, he's just V. So... You know, he's sitting Shotgun, and then he cranks on some country, like, or he's got some Kenny Chesney or some crap going. I'm not a fan of country. And I go, "Man, can you please turn this crap off?" I don't like it. He leans over in his seat, and he goes, "You shut your mouth, bitch. I am V. I control the radio."
Nice.
Because, you know, yeah. He's right. He is V. I should have known better. Yeah. So,
That's one of my favorite stories.
That is Vitatis.
Yeah. And now, if you please, to close the show, your impression of me.
"I'm Derek Knight. Welcome to Son of Cheese. You think I talk like this just when I'm on the radio? No, this is how I talk all the time." That's you, dude.
No. Oh, see, yeah, last time you did like this whole some people play tennis.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
The human soul.
That was just, okay. I'm Derek Knight. When I belittle you, it's because I feel bad about myself. Some people play tennis for fun. The human soul.
Wow. Okay.
We'll have to redo it. I guess you can edit it.
He doesn't edit anymore.
No, I don't. Editing's done. Sorry. I don't know if I told you that, but yeah, there's no more. No more editing goes on the big program here. So
my bad.
It was too much like work.
You had Chris. Hey, Christopher. Goddammit, why are you so sucks?
So, and there you go.
This is Derek Knight from SonOfCheese.com. You've been listening to the Son of Cheese Half Hour Power Hour. It's been fun. We've been talking to major fucking star Chris Graham, also Colin Burton from FizzlingPop.com. Join us.
Take care.
My sister Heather from Medit Spam.
See ya.
My wife Heather.
Bye.
Jason Ozan from RedRumRadio.com.
Thanks for having me.
And Chris's handler, Christina.
Thanks for having me.
And we'll be back again next time. We
didn't let Chris say goodbye.
Well, I had already said that he was here.
You did, but you didn't let him say goodbye.
Say bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, then. We'll be back some other time.